Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another book made of
another show. Well, another week, a nervous one among many travelers, and I am guessing theatergoers. But I managed to see three shows, which all played to full and responsive audiences. So fingers crossed as we move into what could be another period of uncertainty. Now, of those shows, two were at prestigious off-Broadway venues, the other on Broadway. One is the work of the late and great Stephen Sondheim, and one is, ironically, or coincidentally, at the Stephen Sondheim Theater. Well, let's start there. The show is Mrs. Doubtfire, based on the Robin Williams movie, of course. This one was just starting up when COVID hit. And now it's back, and it may be the season's first hit for families, at least those not politically correct obsessed. Directed by Jerry Zaks, it's slapstick meets kids making fun of their parents. Dad, you look like Grandma crossed with Shrek. Now, in case you don't recall the story, it's about a frantically childlike father of three kicked out by his rather uptight wife, and divorce proceedings begin. Well, the only way he can see his kids is by using his imitation skills to pose as the nanny, and that's Mrs. Doubtfire. The songs, of which there are many, are okay, if largely forgettable. He seems too British, sort of Brad Pittish, and the like. Well, the venue may carry his name, but we are not in Sondheim territory here. Now back to that PC thing. The pivotal role is not only exhausting for star Rob McClure, let me say, in years even without Hugh Jackman on the horizon, he would likely win a Tony for all the quick-changing histrionics. But the role and the show are now encumbered, perhaps fatally, by the very idea of a man playing a woman. Not to mention the gay characters being brought in for hairstyle and clothing gimmicks and so on. Now, sure enough, the producers woke up to negative reviews this morning about the challenges faced and missed by Mrs. Doubtfire. Still, I may be wrong, but this feels like the kind of show that is what we call critic-proof. Remember, Wicked was largely panned when it opened. Now, as for the Sondheim work, co-written with John Wideman, that I was privileged to see for maybe my third or fourth time over the years, it's Assassins at the Classic Stage Company. And this production was also just getting going when everything closed down. It's directed by John Doyle, the minimalist master, and it fits that bill. The nine figures take their turns telling their stories, surrounded only by photographs of the U.S. presidents, their intentional targets, and a few flags here and there. That's about it for stagecraft. Now, first, let me say, if you don't like the sounds of gunshots, stay home. Every single one is heard here. But the production is simple and powerful, with top-notch performers Stephen Pasquale, Brandon Uranowitz, Will Swenson, Ethan Slater, Judy Kuhn, Tommy Gabinson, and more doing very fine work. Do they make us sympathize with these characters and their deeds? Nope, thank goodness. But they help us understand them better. What I did was kill the man who killed my country, claims John Wilkes Booth. Surrender is not the end, he says. Assassins runs a little under 2 hours, no intermission, and it's up through January at least. Tickets are apparently going for as much as $1,000 a pop. Now, my final show of the week is at the Public Theater, a relatively short run and only set to go another week, I believe. It's called Kullud Wata, spelled C-U-L-L-U-D-W-A-T-T-A-H. Written by Erica Dickerson Despenza, it follows a family of three generations of five women, takes place in Flint, Michigan. Need I say more? Yes, the subject is water and race, the crisis we all heard about, but this piece takes us up close to how it impacts one family, a black one in particular. Children can't even get baptized safely, says one character. Another has a good job, unfortunately, at the company that is one of the key villains in turning the city's water toxic. So now I have to sue the company that just promoted me, she asks. Every character is clearly defined, beautifully portrayed. The lights go on after 2 hours and 15 minutes, and the cast merely states how many days, as in years, have gone by without making Flint's water safe. they exit the stage with no curtain call, which somehow seemed right. So that was my week of live viewing. As for the screen variety, I did tune in to Annie Live on NBC. This is not one of my favorite shows to begin with, and this version didn't change my opinion. But it's appropriate for the holidays, and like Mrs. Doubtfire, good for family viewing. Mostly it boasted an impressively spirited little orphan played by one Selena Smith. The other actors, talented, if over-the-top bunch. The biggest name here was Harry Connick as Daddy Warbucks. He was fine, though most of the attention he garnered, at least from Twitter watchers, was about his bald wig. The show attracted about 5 million viewers. That's the weakest showing for any of these NBC live shows, but the number could go up as Annie is now streaming on Peacock. So that's TV and theater, and while I don't officially cover film here, I did see a screening of Being the Ricardos, the soon-to-be-released movie starring Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem as Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Now, there are theatrical elements here, starting with the writer-director Aaron Sorkin. He currently has To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway, where he started with A Few Good Men, and then the Farnsworth Invention, which was about the early days of TV. The new movie proves he still is interested in that time and field. He does a great job of telling this story, and Nicole Kidman, who was on Broadway herself several years back, has an Academy Award, her second in the near future, I predict. So, Jill, a busy week, and next we speak, I will be reporting on Sondheim's other and very PC revival.
Well. I'm actually looking forward to seeing how that goes. So your opinion of Annie was that the show itself is thin. Is that a good word?
The actual show, yeah.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen it for years. I did watch, but I have to say that that spirited is a good way. You know that. Everybody managed to look as though they were having fun.
I agree.
And I think that, no, I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying that that is exactly what, if you are going to engage people in the magic of theater, it's, looking as though you are having a good time is huge. And I don't know how many people actually saw it. Because I don't know, I absolutely no clue. But if even one little kid was like, "Oh wow, look at those splits," there's just the athleticism, not the, because it was so in my view different. It was wholesome. I mean,
again. They can say, those little girls can say, "I can do that."
That's right.
Every week at my dance fest, and little black girls can say, "I can play her," So, no, I think it was a good choice for them. It is Christmas-oriented. It's family-oriented. I thought it was a good choice. It's exhausting. So is, Mrs. Doubtfire's exhausting. Musicals are exhausting in a way because people work so hard, to get the laughs out of everything. And you see the work, so often. But, on the small screen, you really see the work in a way. But I thought it was good. Listen, even if 5 million people, that's a low number of viewers TV-wise, but it's a lot of families. That doesn't count how many people were each one of those homes,
Right.
And, listen, the more the better. I think that it was always a very intelligent and interesting thing that NBC started with these live Broadway shows. It really started with the guy who used to run NBC Entertainment, who came out of the theater world. And he's no longer there, but I think he was one of the producers of this one, if I'm not mistaken. So he's still kind of covering both, both ends.
Right. And I can't recall who did Jesus Christ Superstar for Christmas. There was one thing, though, whatever, along the way, that was a little too, can't think of the right, most diplomatic phrase for, and nor can I remember the show. I just remember thinking, this is not necessarily going to, as the old saying goes, play in Peoria. And
you mean Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, there was an NBC. This was the fourth or fifth one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They did do Jesus Christ Superstar, I think, with John Legend.
So that, all right, so that was theirs then.
Yeah. And
so,
and that was a little riskier. I think you're right.
But that was Alice Cooper. Right, but it was also Easter related, I believe.
That's exactly right.
So that's a totally fair time to do it. But I think that there was one Christmas-ish supposed to be live show that just kind of over, I simply can't remember what it was, though. It just,
yeah.
So reverting to something like Annie, I think was.
I agree. I think it made sense. It was very good casting. And, you know, it's good music. And listen, these people, you know, theater people, whatever you say, and a lot of people will never go to theater in their life. They work harder than anybody. You know, they're up there. I mean, if you could see Rob McClure, and not that you will, and I've never seen an actor work harder than he works in Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, the changing the shit, you know, of clothing within one scene, running back and forth, it is exhausting. God bless him. And I thought when I walked out of there, I said to my friend, gee, if it wasn't for Hugh Jackman, I guess he would be a lock for the Tony. Now I'm not even sure he would be because of all the PC stuff, you know, that's come out. But no, listen, they're up there. And, you know, he had to get up there the next day or the next night, you know, and do it again.
Well, we will see how that, you know, again, if it works, if it's family-esque, I think it will be helpful. If it isn't, then, you know, we'll see how it lasts.
That's the only way it's going to make it. I was trying to think of another show more recent than Wicked. That was, and this theater was filled with kids. So anyway, we shall see.
And how was, what was the Assassins audience like?
Filled, of course.
Right.
I'd say older, classic stage company tends to get subscribers, but a lot of Sondheim, you know, it was all Sondheim, of course. It's an older crowd, a lot of gray hair, as mine would have been if I were braver. No, it was, you know, very excited, and was weird because, you know, they do come out. Every single one of them comes out holding a gun. My first thought was, I'm so glad I didn't bring my husband because that's his one phobia, is a fear of loud noises. And then I went home and I watched, this is a weird digression, I went home to watch Alec Baldwin being interviewed about, you know, the gun, the famous gun that accidentally went off. And I realized that in the program at the classic stage, they do have a whole thing assuring the audiences none of these guns have anything in them, you know, that you have to worry about. And obviously they did that as a response to the Alec Baldwin thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Anyway, they're loud, but they're safe.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.